opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Friday, January 9th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Some years ago, I went to one of my relatives, Aunt May. Aunt May is Simonette. She's an elderly lady. She's about 95 or so now. Right? And they were having a get-together at a home, her daughters, right? And brought all of the distant cousins to her house just to recognize and pay tribute to her. While they were there, one of the daughters pulled out her family Bible. It's a big Bible. And I need to mention that my Aunt May is from Acklands, right? Benicle Hill, Acklands. So, and they know that I record family documentary, right? So they said, Bible. She lists a number of deaths that happened in Benicle Hill, Acklands. So as I perused the Bible, right, she has it lists off a number of people who died. And it stuck out to me because she had everyone died between 1925 to 1945. But something stuck out to me that in 1933, August 30th, 1933, there was a repeated death notice of various family members. There was a Nola Elsa Wilson. She died August 30th, 1933. Nona K. Wilson. She died August 1933. There was a Virginia Malitia Wilson. She died August 1933. There was a Roxana Wilson, she died August 1933. There was a Luca Sweeting, she died August 1933. There was a Wellington Wilson, he died August 1933. There was Benaby, and I can't remember the first name, kind of. He died August 1933. And Amos Wilson. He died the same time, right? And I asked a question. What happened? Why all these family members is listed as dying on the same day? And my cousin mentioned that was the great hurricane of 1933. In studio we have today Mr. Wayne Neely, who's the author of The Great Bahamian Hurricanes of 1933. Something happened in 1933. Not just one hurricane, I think it's a total of five hurricanes back to back that battled the Bahamas and mashed up everything, killing about, how much, 15 people?
48 persons.
48?
In one storm.
In one storm. I think that might be the most deaths on records, but I can go into detail and he's going to explain all that. Mr. Wayne Trevor Neely is here, who's one of the premier authors in the Bahamas regarding hurricanes and recording such. But before we get into this particular book, because this book actually references Acklands and my community, or my father's community, my family's community, Benicle Hill. And when you see it in print and you get that shivers, I get that shivers because they talk about us. Talk about my kin, right? But before that, I want to establish Mr. Neely's credentials. Who are you, Mr. Neely?
I'm a meteorologist of 35 years. I've been working in the Department of Meteorology for 35 years. I'm a forecaster at the Department of Meteorology, and I've been writing. I'm a book author of 17 published books.
How many books?
17.
17 books.
Yes.
And all these books are about hurricanes?
About hurricanes. Of them, most of them, Bahamian hurricanes. And the impact that these hurricanes had on the Bahamian society, the particular year that I was writing about.
Okay. I know that you are recognized internationally.
Yes. This book actually is my second New York Times bestseller. It's now a New York Times bestseller.
Your New York Times bestseller. Tell me what the first one.
The first one was Hurricane Dorian about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And now this is the second one that you're a New York bestseller.
The New York Times bestseller, yes.
The New York Times bestseller. Okay. And I know there are a number of universities, I think.
They use my books as research materials, yeah.
Okay. You want to call?
Yes, MIT, Florida State University, Florida International University, Penn State University, Ohio State University, Louisiana State University, and I can go on.
So, again, you are internationally acclaimed.
Yes.
You are recognized as one of the premier historians regarding hurricanes.
Yes.
And your research is revered.
Yes.
Before we start talking about this particular book, I want to go and give a narrative of the various books in order that you publish and give a brief synopsis of each book until we come to the 17th book that we have right here.
Okay, the first one I wrote was a 54-page book that got me started, actually. And I thought I would only write one book, but unfortunately that wasn't the case. I wrote The Great Bahamas Hurricane of 1929, which was published by Media House. Media Publishing.
Off Shirley Street.
Off Shirley Street, yes.
Okay.
The second one was
Don't rush that. What is that about?
That was about the 1929 hurricane and the impact that it had on the Bahamas, especially the island of Andros and the island of New Providence.
Okay.
And 142 persons died in that storm.
142 Bahamians or residents died in that storm?
Yes.
Which islands did that impact most?
Impacted mostly, and 77% of churches in New Providence were destroyed, and 95% of churches in Andros were destroyed.
Almost every church in Andros?
Yeah, just about every church in Andros was destroyed. And they were, and most of the houses in New Providence were destroyed as well.
So I'm picturing now that churches tend to have been hurricane shelters.
Yes.
So I can imagine that in Andros, you go to a hurricane shelter.
And it's destroyed, and they would go into another building, and that was destroyed. So it was pure chaos. So a lot of persons in St. Simons went to caves, actually, after to hide from the hurricane.
Mind you, we had a politician that mentioned that the caves tend to be the safest place.
Yeah, most of them would go in the caves. And the 1929 hurricane was a 3-day storm, so it wasn't just for one day. They went in the caves for 3 days.
Wait, a storm lasted for 3 days?
Yes, 3 consecutive days.
And nobody could go anywhere?
No. It was Category 4, 140-mile-per-hour winds for 3 consecutive days. That's why most of the older persons would call it the gale of 1929 or the storm that God sent for the sponging industry of 1929.
So it impacted the sponging industry
at
the time?
Yes, it did. It decimated the sponge beds. And most of the sponge, for that year, most of the sponge beds were destroyed.
Wow. And I know, according to Hannah Hasey Times history, a number of Hannahs moved to Andros to do sponging. And then from there, they moved to Bimini and Grand Bahama. Circa that time because of the hurricane there.
Yeah. In 1920s, most of the persons went to Andros in the back west coast of Andros, an area called the Mud. And that's where most of the islands in Bahamas would gather around either in Exuma, and most of them were in Andros, and they would go to the west coast of Andros because that was where most of the sponges were found. And sometimes a hurricane would come, and not knowing a hurricane was coming, and they would destroy it.
You mentioned not knowing that hurricane was coming. There was no satellite or anything.
No satellite, no computers, no radio.
So people normally caught off guard. They could have been out fishing.
They'd be out fishing, and most of them, a lot of them watched the seabirds to see, for example, I can give you an example, a white round pigeon. Early in the morning, most of them have their nests on the keys because that's safer for them. And they would nest on the keys. And early in the morning, around 7 a.m., they'd fly in from the keys, go to, in my case, in Andros, I saw it myself. In Andros, they would go from 7 in the morning, they'd go from the keys into the western part of Andros, pick the berries, the cocoa plums and whatever berries, and they'd fill their stomachs with berries and take it back to their chicks on the keys. And they would go at 7 a.m., and about around 4 or 5 in the afternoon, they fly back to the Keys to take the food that they could get it during the day. And 5 o'clock. Now, if those fishermen saw that at 12 noon, at 1 p.m. or 12 noon, they saw those birds flying, they know that something caused that bird to change its path, because the bird, once the bird sends hurricane, they automatically fly away. Mm. So once they sense hurricane was traveling, then they saw a bird flying at 12 o'clock, they would immediately turn their schooners around, their boats, and go back to either to a key or to the mainland, because they know a storm was traveling. They had something called a parameter shell. Mm-hmm. They would dye the shell in indigo blue ink, and they would keep it on their boats. And apparently, the shape of this shell and the dots on the shell would different when it becomes, when humidity hits it, it becomes different. It behaves differently. So they would follow that shell and they would watch that shell. And there were the other ways. They look at the clouds. They look at the cloud patterns as well. Now, the problem that they had is that during the summer, sometimes you have afternoon thunderstorms. So they couldn't tell the difference between an afternoon thunderstorm and a hurricane. So sometimes they would think it's just a thunderstorm impacting them, and they would stay out on the waters and not worry about it. But when it was indeed a hurricane.
Wow. So that was your first book?
Yes.
What was your second book?
Second book was The Major Hurricanes to Affect the Bahamas, which included all the major hurricanes that impacted the Bahamas and the recollections and personal recollections of persons who experienced those storms.
So you interviewed people along the way, and they give you their details about it?
Most of my books, I interview people, like try and get their recollections about the individual storms.
Mm-hmm. And your third book?
Third book was The Great Bahamian Hurricanes of 1926.
Mm-hmm.
That was three hurricanes in 1926. You had 258 Bahamians dying. 258, depending on the source you use.
I can't picture 200 people dying at one time. I expect like 4 dead and 5 dead. No. And you call in hundreds?
That's what we experienced. Yeah, that's...
Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's what we experienced. And 258 Bahamians, and some sources say 268. And most of them died in sponging, same thing as in sponging ranks of Andrus Exuma, and most of the family as well.
Okay, and this is the third book we're on now?
Yes.
So the fourth book was?
Fourth was The Great Okeechobee Hurricane of 1928. That one.
I had family members die in that. That's in Miami.
Miami, yes. 1,400 Bahamians, yes.
You know what you say about 1,400? That's 1,400 more people.
Yeah, yes. Most persons who died in that storm were Bahamian migrant workers, migrant workers who went to...
Fruit workers.
Yeah, went to Florida to pick fruit.
We had a great migration of Acklands and Crooked Islanders migrated to Miami.
Most of the farmland, because at the time... Sponging was the number one industry, and in the late 1920s, sponging was starting to wind down because the sponge, they had over-sponged most of the beds, and so funding was getting a little low for them. So they used the opportunity to travel to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they did a memorial of some sort for Bahamians.
Bahamians, yes, in Okeechobee, Florida.
Okay, and so that's the fifth book.
Yes.
Right? You wrote a sixth book. What is that?
Sixth book was The Great Bahamas Hurricane of 1929, a big one. The Great Bahamas Hurricane of 1929. It's just a bigger book to my first book. The first one was 54 pages. This one was about 300-400 pages.
So you just decided to do more research and add to that,
yes.
Okay.
Because after I wrote the first book, calls and so many people telling me about their experiences, I realized that that little 54-page book didn't do the storm justice. And so I did the 1929 in a big book.
Okay. So now we're on your book number 7?
Yes.
Okay. What's the name of that?
That one was The Great Bahamian Hurricanes of 1932 and 1899.
Tell me about that. You said 1899?
Yes.
That he was recording hurricanes in 1899?
Yes. And 334 Bahamians died, and most of them sponge fishermen. And the book gives the names of all the persons who died in that storm.
So you mentioned names.
Yes.
Like, where would you get the name? Like, they reported it in the newspaper?
No, what happened is that back then, storms weren't given female and male names like we do today.
Okay.
But they named the storm after, for example, if the hurricane devastated Nassau, Puerto Rico, and let's say Barbados, And the greatest devastation occurred in Nassau. The storm will be called the Great Nassau Hurricane of 1926. Or if there was a storm, for example, let's say in Puerto Rico, the Great Puerto Rico Hurricane of 1928, which killed about 1,600 persons in Puerto Rico. It would be named after the Great Puerto Rico Hurricane. Or they also named them after the saints of the day. They also named them after boats or holidays that occurred. For example, the Great Labor Day Hurricane was named after the holiday because it fell on that day. So it's known internationally as the Great Labor Day Hurricane.
Do you know the date of the first named hurricane?
The first named hurricane in the Bahamas?
In general. I mean,
the first named hurricane was the one where Christopher Columbus encountered there was a hurricane on the island of Hispaniola.
Hispaniola, okay.
1494.
Okay.
The first hurricane on record.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I remember.
The first hurricane on record in the Bahamas is the great hurricane of Great Crooked Island, hurricane of 1500. And that one saw the demise of the Pinta. Columbus had three ships, the Pinta, the Santa Maria, and the Nina.
Mm-hmm.
And that saw the demise of the Dominion. They were caught in a storm and it sunk near Crooked Island. Two ships sunk near Crooked Island.
I did not know.
Yeah.
I did not know. Okay, you're on book number 8 now.
Yes.
Okay, tell me the name of that.
The book number 8, I have so much I have to remember. The book number 8 is The Great Okeechobee, the Great Eight. I have so much. The greatest and deadliest hurricanes of the North Atlantic.
What's that about?
That's about all the major hurricanes that impacted the Bahamas, the Caribbean and the North Atlantic.
So your research includes the wider Caribbean
yes,
and the region.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily just about the Bahamas.
No, not just about the Bahamas. It includes all the islands in the North Atlantic.
So do you record like the deaths and the damage also
yes,
happened on each
yes,
island?
Yes, on each island, yes. In each country as well.
Okay. So we like on book 9 or
yeah,
10 now.
And I redid for another publisher, the Great Okeechobee Hurricane. I redid that with another publisher, UR Link Publishing.
So why did you redo that?
To include the Bahamas, more of the Bahamas.
Oh, okay. Put our narrative inside the book to make sure that we're counted.
Yes.
And tell our story. Because I remember doing research on Hannah Hasty Tynes, and they told stories about the lake swelling.
Yes.
And then coming in.
In waters, yeah. Overflowed. That's the Okeechobee Hurricane. The hurricane went over the lake and it produced lake surge.
Mm.
And it flooded all the surrounding homes, surrounding homes and farms near Belgrade in Florida. And most of them were living in substandard houses, which were Bahamian migrant workers.
Mm-hmm.
And that flooded, and many of them drowned. And in fact, they never found the bodies.
Just gone missing?
Yeah, went missing. And
how many Bahamians, you said?
Approximately 1,400.
Nobody
knows the full amount.
1,400 is a big amount of Bahamians just gone missing.
Yeah, all of them died, yes.
So we're on book circle like 12, 13 now.
Yeah, I redid the greatest and deadliest hurricanes of the North Atlantic with another publisher as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's with UR Link. And the next book was the Great Okeechobee as well with UR Link. And I did the greatest and deadliest hurricanes to impact the Bahamas. I did that with UI Universe. And that includes all the major hurricanes that impacted the Bahamas from the time the fleet of Columbus encountered the hurricane, because Columbus was not there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Vincent Pezon, the captain of the Pinta, went down in that ship. He was the captain of the Pinta.
I didn't even know that the captain of the Pinta died during the voyage. Why is it so important to record hurricanes, particularly the ones that impacted the Bahamas?
Well, first of all, because they have such a great impact on the Bahamian society that most people you think about hurricanes, but you don't think about the impact. I give you one example, Hurricane Francis Jean in Wilma.
Mm-hmm.
That occurred in 2004 and 2005. To this day, if you go to Grand Bahama, the Grand Bahama economy is still impacted by those storms. And that was in 20-something years ago.
20-odd years ago, and you still can see
the impact of these hurricanes. The Great Bahamas Hurricane of 1929, 77, 1931, 1932 was used to get the country back to some degree of normalcy after the 1929 hurricane. You had Zedness. You talk about Zedness. ZNS only came about as a because of these hurricanes. In fact, the last major set of hurricanes that came about was the 1933 hurricane season. And you had in 1926, you had 258 Bahamians who died in the Great Nassau Hurricane of 1926. You had 100 Bahamians died in the Great Miami Hurricane of 1926. And you had several persons dying in the October Hurricane of 1926. In 1928, you had 1,400 Bahamians who died. 1929, you had 142 Bahamians. 1933, you had 48 Bahamians in the Great Treasure Coast Hurricane. 1932, you had the Great Abaco Hurricane of 1900, which killed 18 persons. And all those storms were impacting because back then, the family structure was different back then. It was none like we have today.
Explain.
Today, you have a woman have a house without a father figure in the house. Back then, that wasn't the case. In most cases, you had the house. The father figure was the breadwinner of the house. And the mother, her job was to take care of the house. She didn't work. Mm-hmm. She took care of the house. The father went in the field. Father went fishing. Father went sponging. Anybody over the age of 10 years old was considered a workable person. Mm-hmm. And after 10 years old, they went on the ships also as sponge fishermen as well. And the leaving age of the school was at age 14. Mm-hmm. And so you had most of the men and boys. So when that ship went down, that ship took the boys and the men. So that impacted this family structure. It decimated the family structure because those were the breadwinners. If you don't have a breadwinner in the house anymore, your family is going to suffer. Mm-hmm. And so that happened with many of the storms. If you look in my books, from the 1926 to 1933, the latest one now, you'll see that how many persons who died in those storms. And most of the family island residents, most of them were family island residents. And so it decimated the family structure. So when that happened, the first set of people who complained about it was some women in Kiara Island after the great Nassau Hurricane of 1926, in the settlement of the Bight alone, 79 persons died in that settlement of the Bight Kiara Island. And those women complained to the governor and petitioned the governor and petitioned the King of England to find a way to stop these storms from decimating the country, killing their husbands and their sons.
So they wrote the king?
Yeah, they wrote the king and they wrote the governor. They took trips to Nassau. Those ladies from Kiara Island took trips to Nassau to talk to the governor. And when they found that when that happened, they pleaded with the governor so much, and eventually the governor listened. After the 1933 hurricane season, where 48 Bahamians died in that storm, mm-hmm. They decided to find a way to prevent it. The only way they knew how was to establish a radio station called ZNS. The only reason ZNS came about, more people think ZNS is as a news station. It is a news station, but the only reason ZNS came about in the 1930s, the 26th of May, 1936, ZNS came about. And the only reason it came about was as a hurricane warning station.
I didn't realize ZNS was that old.
Yes, from 1936.
From 1936.
26th of May, 1936.
As a result or as a response
yes,
of
in response
the hurricanes,
to these hurricanes yes.
To be a warning
yes.
system.
And it worked perfectly well. From then, the deadliest hurricane after that was one in 1942, where 10 persons died. After that, in 1936... I think there's one or two persons died in that one. The greatest one in 1942, which was when Michael Simonet's grand uncle died in that storm. And a boat was going from Andros to New Providence, and it was caught in the storm. And they succumbed to the storm. They knew the storm was coming. They listened to the radio, and they heard that the storm was traveling. But they said they'd try and outrun the storm. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't about that they were not informed. They were informed, but just that they didn't pay any mind to the warnings.
So, and I understand that radio is communicated through radio waves.
Yes.
Right? So we establish a radio station just basically to inform people
yes.
that a storm coming.
Yes.
But how do they know where the storm is?
In Agua, telegram.
Ah, through telegrams.
Yes. From Inagua to Grand Bahama. The entire island was covered, just like it does today, and it's doing a tremendous job. ZNS do a tremendous job of informing people about hurricanes now, and that started in 26th of May, 1936.
Let's talk about the women then, and trying to, so my listening audience can appreciate what had the impact of having their man folks,
yes,
including their elder sons who were on a fishing boat from 10, 11, 12 years old, and their husband.
Yes.
The impact that they own a family island and all of their monies and finances came from the man.
From the man, yes. Yes. And so they didn't have any finances, didn't have any, so...
What do we do?
Well, you had to depend on, that's when neighbors came along. You had to depend on others. But fortunately, back then, the neighbor community was a bit different. I knew, for example, I grew up in South Andres. And if morning, everyone had to fish. So if you was a person who went out, my father was a fisherman. And my cousins were farmers. So they would bring their cassava and their potato and give to my parents. And my parents would give them a fish. So it was bartering. They passed it on like that. Money wasn't a big object back then. So they relied on other people. But then at the end of the day, they still suffered because they had no man figure, no boy figure in the house.
And I could tell you stories on Acklands when there's only one male in the community. And the devastation that did. Yeah. Having go down that road.
But I can
tell you what happens in only one man in the community. Yeah. Right? But we're now on your... 15, 16 book before the 17th book. And that's Hurricane Dorian?
Hurricane Dorian.
Okay, tell me about that and the need to write that. And yes. Of course, you got internationally recognized.
Yes, I started writing Dorian. I started writing this book here in 2018. And in 2019, Dorian came along. And
so you started the Great Bahamian Hurricanes of 1933. Before Dorian.
Yes.
Right? And you put it down.
Yeah, because Dorian was such a massive storm, I had to write about Dorian. And I wrote about Dorian. Mark Mayfield did the forward for me. Dorian was perhaps the greatest storm in the modern era. $3.4 billion was lost. We're still paying for Dorian today's date and probably for the foreseeable future.
I mean, Grand Bahama still have the effects of the hurricanes there.
Yeah, I went to Grand Bahama and Abaco many times. And the devastation from these, devastation is still there on the islands. And people still remember the hurricane. And the thing about Grand Bahama, especially Grand Bahama, they pay very close attention to hurricanes now. Before Francis Jane and Wilma, no one really cared about hurricanes. And, mm-hmm. and I saw that firsthand because when I wrote my first book, trying to get people to talk about hurricanes, they want to know why I was writing a book on hurricanes. Mm-hmm. They no longer ask me that because nowadays, everybody knows the impact of hurricanes because you had Francis Jane, Wilma, Joaquin, Irma, and Dorian. You have Dorian. And Dorian came along and everyone saw firsthand because back then, Dorian did a tremendous thing for the Bahamas because it showed what Category 5 hurricane is capable of doing to the Bahamas. And you had WhatsApp still working. People were able to communicate even during the storm.
Live.
So you saw firsthand what these storms are capable of doing. You saw a lady pleading with a little baby in her arms and telling someone to rescue her. You saw those images firsthand. You saw the damages that's good. You also saw a significant death toll as well.
It got flabbergasted just now, right? Bahamians tend, before Dorian, not to pay attention to anything under Hurricane 3.
Yes.
Category 3, we say, okay, that's a serious storm.
Check
Hurricane 1, Hurricane 2, that's a thunderstorm, right? Yeah. But now we see that there is...
Long lines at the gas station, long lines at the food store.
And Hurricane 1, as a tropical storm, they shut down the country for
And not only that, time. Sometimes they say that the storm is not affecting Nassau, and it still would... They still stalk up because this image is embedded in their minds.
The trauma
of March of 2016, of Dorian of 2019, Irma of 2017. So that image is embedded in their mind of what these storms are capable of doing now. So now you have an educated Bahamian public, which is a good thing.
Yes, and a Bahamian public who is prepared to prepare.
Yes.
Right? And I see we have a number of hurricane shelters being erected by the government now, right?
Yes.
I think we have maybe, we have community centers that said it's going to be used as a hurricane shelter. And then we have one hurricane shelter that's still being sought out in Abaco, right?
Yeah.
Can we prepare for Hurricane 5?
Yes, we can. But the problem with devastating is going to be devastating. No matter what. You can't prepare as much because you're going to have devastation no matter what. You're going to have severe flooding. You're going to have strong winds, massive winds that take roofs off buildings and flood areas as well.
In Grand Bahama, I saw a number of residents who had hurricane-proof windows.
Yes.
and the hurricane proof windows worked. But yeah, the walls collapsed.
Yes.
The whole window frame was there.
Yeah, and that's what Category 5 does.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The whole roof gone and the walls collapsed.
At least they still had the window.
And left a good window there, you know? I found that odd and peculiar. So now we on... No, I want to mention this first. There seems to be some type of what they call either tidal wave or tsunami type concept that people are now concerned about with hurricanes.
Yeah.
Before, we never heard about that. You hear about flooding.
Flooding,
right?
Yeah.
If you live in low-lying areas.
Yeah.
But it seems as if the ocean...
Storm surge.
Storm surge?
Yeah, that's what you call it. The storm surge of the storm.
But it's come way inland.
Yeah, it comes way inland, yes.
Like miles, though, inland.
Because we flat. Yeah, we flat. So to the flooding is going to take you far inland.
Is there any place that we can be considered safe for a hurricane?
Unfortunately, Bahamas, we island nation, and most of the islands are very narrow. So, no.
I had some time to spend in Long Island about 2 years ago. There are a number of houses still there that has no roof from whatever hurricane hit there.
Noel did a lot of devastation in Long Island. I saw the flooding from Noel. Hmm. Yeah, and most of the island, a lot of Long Island floods when there's a major storm.
Yeah, and it's a narrow island. It's a water country in terms of water on two sides and it merges in the middle. But let's start talking about this book, The Great Bahamian Hurricanes of 1933. You decided to write it. Why it took so long to conclude, why you put it down, why you pick it back up, what is significance about this particular hurricane that you decided to write about it. I think it's about five hurricanes in one year.
Yeah, five hurricanes, yes. That's a reason. Five hurricanes. And imagine the devastation that you had with Dorian on Grand Bahama and Abaco, and you transpose that to every single island in the Bahamas. That's what you get with the 1933 hurricane season.
You're saying that every island was impacted in 1933?
Every single island was impacted and they were decimated. You had five hurricanes. Two were Category 4. One was Category 5. It's the second Category 5 we've had. The first one is Great Abaco Hurricane of 1932, a year before.
Mm-hmm.
And that only decimated Abaco. But you had the Great Cuba Brownsville Hurricane of 1933, which was a Category 5, which decimated the Bahamas. You had the Great Treasure Coast. The Great Treasure Coast was a Category 4 hurricane. That did the most damage. That seemed to have done the most damage to the islands of the Bahamas because it impacted every single island. And you had other hurricanes as well, the other hurricanes that came along and devastated, and sometimes right behind one another. So didn't have any time to prepare for.
I always get concerned when you say the word, it impacted every island, and I'm picturing this hurricane come from down south.
Yes, from south.
And it moved
straight up. We've rarely seen that in recent times. We've seen a lot of that occurred in the 1926 hurricane season. It occurred in the 1928 hurricane season, and you saw the 1866 hurricane and the 1899 hurricane. You haven't seen that since those times.
So it's a rare occurrence of a hurricane impacting the entire Bahamas.
Right.
But we have a history of that.
A strong hurricane, yes.
Yeah. Dorian, when it came, sat over Abaco.
Yes.
And then you mentioned earlier that one hurricane spent 3 days. I can't picture it.
Yes, New Providence and Anderson.
So a hurricane could stop
moving? Yes.
And then last for 3 days? I want people to appreciate what they mean by it's 3 days with a hurricane.
High pressure. The same thing it did with Dorian. The same thing happened with the 1929 hurricane. It was stuck between two high pressure systems. High pressure, it was blocking action to the north, so it couldn't move further north. Hurricanes and its tendency tend to move northward due to the Coriolis force and to cause it to move northward. In north, then eventually north, northwest, then northeast, north, then northeast, and eventually up in the Arctic. But that storm lasted for 3 days. It stayed over New Providence and Anders for three consecutive days. So, and in the book, the 1933 hurricane, they wrote a song about the 1929 hurricane. I included it in the book, the same book as well.
Tell me the song, because I see it's people calling now.
Great Storm Pass Over.
You know the words?
It's the words in the book. Three long days and three long nights.
I want you singing that way. You know the words. Go ahead.
Three long days and three long nights. It killed some, it wounded some, and left some still to pray. Or something like that.
Oh. It sounded like a sad tale.
It was a sad tale. Yeah.
Kermit, prep this call for me as we get ready, as we talk and continue to talk with Trevor Neely. I see a number of people trying to get into, or the person just hang up, trying to get into the communication. Call back, caller. So walk me through this book. You said there were five storms. Which was the first storm
The Great Treasure Coast Hurricane of night. It devastated the Treasure Coast region of Florida. So, and that's why it was named after the Treasure Coast. But 48 persons died. 15 persons, some of your family members in Auckland. Mm-hmm. 15 persons died in Auckland alone. And other islands like Long Island, Exuma, you had deaths in all most of the islands.
What do you do when there's mass deaths, though? I'm trying to picture the response, right? Even as a meteorologist, right, on the ground, yes, and have to report this, as our systems. Because I always be afraid that what happens if a big hurricane impacts New Providence?
If a hurricane, for example, let's example, most of those are sponge fishermen. Once a person drowned out at sea, the remaining man figures would go in another boat and try and recover the bodies from where they lost those storms. And they'd bring them back and bury them on the land. But if there were no, they can't find them, they would just grieve a memorial service and that's it. But this person died in the storm, a boat went down. Let's say, for example, a boat went down called the Mountain King that with Kara, where 28 persons went down. The man figures go back out at sea and get a general idea where that boat was lost and try and find the bodies and bring the bodies back to the mainland and bury them. Or they would bury them on the keys wherever, in some cases, they bury them on the keys wherever they found them.
We have a caller here. I want to ask, these were sailboats, right? Slow-moving boats.
Yes, slow-moving boats, yes.
So they couldn't outrun no hurricane?
No.
Whenever the hurricane comes?
Whenever you start feel the effects of a storm, that means that storm is so close by that you're starting to feel the effects of that storm. So once they start to feel the effects, that storm is already upon them. So which is why I wish comfort the great fatalities in those particular hurricanes.
Let's go to the call. We're talking to Wien Neely, who is the author of The Great Bahamian Hurricanes of 1933. Of course, he has 17 books about hurricanes. He makes sure detail the impact of these hurricanes in the region and, of course, the Bahamas. And he's internationally acclaimed. We're celebrating him, and we want people to go and buy this book because this is like a history type book, especially if you're from the Family Islands. But go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM.
Yes, I have a question for the author.
Go ahead. Mr. Neely.
Yes. Does your book throw a wrench into the predictive processes, you know, we've been hearing about over the past 40 years?
Predictive process? I don't understand.
Every year we hear that this season is going to be the worst one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But over a century ago,
we had worse storms.
Over a century ago, and in that time frame now, nothing has come close.
No. The deaths back then were incomparable of the deaths of today, which is why Dorian was the exception to the norm. Dorian had 79, the official total is 74 deaths, 63 in Abaco and 11 in Grand Bahama. But back then the storms were more deadly. Yeah. They were much stronger. Yeah. Only as of recent we started to see stronger storms. Prior to 2015, we didn't have a Category 4 hurricane to talk about other than Andrew. But those storms back then were stronger storms. Yes.
Hardwares and food stores. They sell a lot of stuff prior to the seasons in anticipation of, seems like, it's more of a fear of what's going to happen, in terms of what dry.
Until you prepare for a storm.
Yes, yes. Anyway, I guess I get your book.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Where can we find your book, by the way?
Book is available at Logos Bookstore in the Harbor Bay Shopping Center.
Any of your books inside the schools as yet?
Yeah, all of my books are in the schools.
Okay, I mean the local schools here.
One of the things that I try and do, try and get them in, before I even put them in the bookstores, I try and get them in all the schools.
Like school library?
School libraries, yes.
Okay, good. So basically so every school library, yeah, I could go and look
and
for it.
Library, and also knowing that I got research from the archives, so I take a copy of the archives as well.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So now we're talking about, the five hurricanes of the 1933, right? Yes. The Great Bahamian Hurricanes of 1933. We talk about the first hurricane, right? Did you find any research about after that first hurricane, and they hear a second one is on its way?
They call it an omen from God.
They call it an omen?
Yes.
God punishing.
Yes. And back then, when I wrote the 1929 hurricane, they said that was an omen from God because God destroyed the sponge beds because the Greeks were robbing the Bahamas. That's a lot of persons in Andrews.
The Greeks are robbing, they got to come. They call the storm. go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
And in 1933, said it was an omen from God where they had five hurricanes and said something they were not doing something right. So,
but who would say that? Were they like Christian people to church?
Christian people. They were very. Hurricanes were. Even the Arawaks and the Taino Indians and the Maya Indians, they all considered that from the gods. They all thought they were gods. And in fact, even in the Caribbean, they all thought storms were from God. And they would have special prayers to ask God to protect them from the storm. And that was throughout the Caribbean. Same thing in the Bahamas. People prayed for a less active hurricane season. And they believed that God would prevent the hurricane from destroying their home.
Did the prayer work?
Sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't.
Especially if you have 100 odd people dead. Yes. I guess you could say it could have been worse.
1866, there was 387 Bahamians died in that one. And 334 in the 1899 hurricane. So sometimes the prayers worked, sometimes it didn't. The Lord give it and the Lord take it, but blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Speak it. So now we're on the third hurricane in 1933.
Yes.
What's the name of that? Or was there no names yet?
They didn't. After the first Great Treasure Coast Hurricane, the Cuba Bronxville Hurricane came next. And there was one, the Great Cuba Hurricane of 1933 that decimated Cuba.
In your book, you reference particular islands.
Yes.
Like you interview people because there's a whole section on
Islands. Every book give island by island. All of my books have an island by island description of the impact that the storm had on each island.
So how would the people, because everyone want to know about their island, right?
Yes.
Crooked Island want to know about Crooked Island people. Acklins want to know. Abaco want to know about
their. They would all be included in the book.
So if you want to find out the history of a particular island, say Long Island or Andrus, you can actually thumb through your book and find out what happened to that community.
Yes, every single island, every single settlement, you're going to get an idea. Most of my books are like that. All of my books are like that.
Did you get to call people name? Can I see?
Yes.
You'd
see names.
I might come across a family member name reference.
I'll just give you an example. My book on the Great Bahamas Hurricane of 1899, 1932, you have names of the persons who died in those storms listed. And they also list the boats that they went down in, the name of the persons who went down in the boat, the schooners that they went down in, because most times the entire schooner would be lost to the storm and everyone on the boat would drown. So they would include all those. Nine persons drowned, one person survived. They'll call the names are listed.
One more caller. Let's see if I can squeeze this caller in there, Kermit. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM. We're talking to Wayne. You're live.
Oh, sorry. Pleasure. Good morning, CA.
Good morning
to your guests as well. Yeah. Listen, there's some great information. I want to ask Mr. Neely something. Seeing that the Turks and Caicos Islands were part of the Bahamas, politically and geographically, any of your research includes the TCI?
Yes, it does. Most of my books would include the Turks and Caicos Islands.
Okay, all right. That's interesting.
But back then, Turks and Caicos wasn't as populated as it is now. But in Turks and Caicos, most of the problem was with the salt industry. They had a vibrant salt industry, so most times whenever a hurricane came, it destroyed the crop, and so there would always be starvation. They would report starvation after the storm because their main source of revenue, the salt industry, was gone.
When you mentioned Cat Island and the fact that, you know, there was a lack of women, I mean, men and whatnot, somebody sent a clip to me recently that said that I think it was during the mid-1900s that, you know, quite a number of Turks Island islanders were more or less recruited to repopulate Cat Island. So you have, like, the Stubbs, the Seymours, and they listed quite a number that, you know, that came from the Turks and Caicos to sort of repopulate Cat Island. Do you know if that is factual?
I'm not sure about that. But I know a lot of the islands. Well, sponging caused a lot of persons to move from different islands, from one island to the next. Sponging, even salt industry as well. For example, my grandfather was from Eleuthera.
Right.
And he came to do sponging in the west coast of Andres, and he saw my mother, and he never went back. Apparently, she was so good that she stayed.
Yeah.
He stayed there. So, and same thing in other islands as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you had many of the islands were populated because of the sponging industry.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, my pastor is called that the power of the gun tail.
I appreciate you.
Have a good one.
Kermit, let's see if you can squeeze this other caller in, please. Go ahead, caller. You're live. Caller going once. You're live, caller. Okay, that caller didn't get through. Let me read this text for you, before we continue. Mr. Levy is a national hero. He is recording our history that persons are doing. Like the ABC magazine that records the Bahamian history, people, events, and places. That's a text that came in. This textbook's a part of our school history classes. This is very informative. Also, where can I purchase these?
At Logos Bookstore.
Logos Bookstore. And they were asking if it's a part of the history curriculum.
Yes. And several years ago, they had the BJCSE and the BJC curriculum. They used my books as research material, and they used my book. And every student had to find an island and write a story on how that island was impacted by a major hurricane. And they used my book as reference materials.
How much is this book going for in Logos?
I don't know.
No, just go to Logos and ask.
Just go to Logos and ask.
But there's enough copies now for people to for the surge.
Copies, yes.
You go there and say, okay, I've
sold out three times already. So you must get your copy. They go in very quickly.
They go in very quickly. Yeah. So go and buy your copy. It's a comprehensive book, but it gives detail about each island. It's like a history book.
Yes.
Especially if you originate from a family island and you want to know how that environment interact with each other.
Yes.
Yeah. So definitely go and buy the book for just that. Now, give me some a brief synopsis of the book because we don't have last few
minutes.
Well,
it talks about the impact. And back then, the role of Family Island Commissioners was very important because after every hurricane, the Family Island Commissioner would go about in each settlement and give a report. And he would report to the governor in New Providence. And the governor, in turn, would, based on the devastation caused by that hurricane, would send building materials, same thing that they do now. Name it does the same job as NEMA and the disaster authority now.
Mm-hmm.
And they report on islands who died on the island, how many homes were destroyed, and the impact. But most times, the devastation is so great that they would focus on the elderly persons at first.
Before you go, what should we be doing as Bahamians in terms of preparing for hurricanes?
Prepare in advance before the hurricane season starts, stocking up on your grocery supplies from a food store, your chest, super value, whatever. Hurricane insurance, people don't think about hurricane insurance and the need for hurricane insurance until the storm destroyed their homes. Hurricane insurance is important, and even before the hurricane season, people know that they have a weak roof or a leaky window or something. Get those repaired before the hurricane strike, because once a hurricane strikes, a hurricane is going to find a weakness and cause loss of lives and loss of material as well, material losses.
Okay. Which is your favorite book? Which book did you enjoy writing?
All of them I enjoy. They like my children.
They like your children.
I can't. My first book would be the 1929 hurricane book.
Mm-hmm.
Would be my
your favorite, because that's where it started all.
That's where it started all. Yes.
In terms of traveling and give speeches, do you still do that?
Yes, still do that. Travel.
Okay.
Travel around.
When last you gone away? In terms of for the book and the research.
For the book, about a month and a half ago.
Yeah. you get to go around.
Yeah.
You get to go around.
Do like traveling.
And you're still active in terms of the meteorology thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you'd be retired now since you was a big
author. I'm soon retired.
Yeah. Right? You know, all these...
They get a lot of new staff now, so I will be replaced in a little while.
A little while.
Yes.
But then you'll continue writing?
I'll continue to write, yes.
Good.
Until I can find more hurricanes.
Until you find more hurricanes.
Until I run out.
Yeah, I understand. And more like you get different viewpoints on why. Yes. Wait a second. This has been Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we had Trevor Wayne Neely in studio. He's talking about his new book. His new book, The Great Bohemian Hurricane of 1933. It's located at Logos Bookstore. You go there and yes. buy it now. You know, Logos is out east there.
Harbor Bay Shopping Center.
This is his new book. He has a total of 17 books. Logos have all the books.
Copies, yeah, they have them all.
They have all 17 lined
out. Yes.
So you need to have a whole section. Just call it the Wayne Neely section. And you just go there and just say, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. It makes great gifts.
Yes,
you know, definitely. Especially if you're a history book.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you want history with the Bahamas and then history about your family island or your family,
yes.
you can include these nuggets about what's happening. Anyway, thank you very much, Wayne.
My pleasure.
I hope to see you again in a couple months with a new book again.
Anytime, I'll be here. Back.
Yes. Okay. Have a wonderful day.
Okay. Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
You try to rest, but go with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com. And the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.